Hi, my name's Matthew Anderson. I had the good fortune recently to spend some time chatting with two award-winning Montreal-based filmmakers, Marlene Miller and Philip Sporer. These two are the creatives behind the film and new media company Mouvement Perpetuel. Their collaborative work with the artists Byron Chief Moon on the film Butte in 2006 and with Chantala Chevalingappa on Bairava in 2017 are what we're talking about today. These two films, Butte and Bairava, are short, incredibly powerful visions of the relationship between human beings, their bodies, the stories which formed them and continue to form them, and the ever-present land which gives them identity.
I'm Marlene Miller, and I'm a filmmaker. I've been working in film for the last 30 years with a focus on dance and performance in particular. Philip and I got together 20 years ago. It's our 20th anniversary this year. And, we're really committed to working with dance artists that really have something to say in their work. And we investigate their work both through dance for camera films as well as through documentaries.
And I'm Philip Sporer, and I am a dance writer, lecturer, and filmmaker as well. I do teach at Concordia University. And as Marlene mentioned, it's the 20th anniversary of Mouvement Perpetuel. I just want to be clear about that. And the focus of the work that we've been doing has had, right from the beginning, an intercultural perspective. So that notion of inclusivity, I think, was there from the get-go.
Mouvement Perpetuel is an independent film, video, and new media production company specializing in arts programming. Marlene Miller and Philip Sporer are the co-directors, collaborating to produce and create dance media films, art documentaries, and multi-channel video installations. As we see clearly with the films Butte and Bairava, their work features, as their website puts it, expansive choreographies and portraits of some of Canada and Quebec's leading contemporary dancers and choreographers, as well as dancers and artists from across cultures within the Americas, Europe, and Asia. Today's episode is the first of a two-part podcast featuring my conversations with Marlene and Philip. Today we're focused mainly on the movie Butte and the work of Byron Chief Moon. Butte was shot in 2006 on the plains and the ancestral grounds of the Blood Reserve on Treaty 6 territory in what is also known as Southern Alberta. The website for Butte states, "The camera instinctively accentuates dancer-choreographer Byron Chief Moon's deep connection to the land. The body as landscape is the central image, where the flesh, bone, and muscle become synonymous with the land." It must have been fun to shoot that film, and I'm saying that as a Westerner, because those landscapes really speak to my heart. And so looking at the film Butte, I was overcome by the beauty of the film, but also by the landscapes, which are just part of I opened my eyes as a very young child, and those were the scenes that I saw. I know a lot of that land very well. So tell me, how did that land affect you?
Well, it was incredible. Sorry, Philip, would you like to go ahead?
No, you go ahead. I'll jump in.
Okay. Well, I have to say it was hard not to be distracted by the vastness and the beauty of those landscapes. You know, I've traveled a lot, but I've never been in such an environment. And it was really stunning and awe-striking, you know. It was amazing to be there with somebody from the land, from that region, and to be introduced to it that way. You know, we really had privileged access to the space, which was incredible.
And Byron, we worked with him actually on three films, in fact. And the very first time we came to be with him, it was in the wintertime. And that's where we saw the landscape at first. And it was striking then. And as Marlene says, something that I had never experienced before in terms of that vastness. And there's also a connectedness, of course, when you're with Byron, Byron Chief Moon is who we're speaking about, who's a dancer, choreographer, a theater man. He is so connected with the land. And so immediately you're drawn into it. So when we went back the second round to film a documentary on his life and subsequently this short film, it was an opening onto a landscape in a different season. But my goodness, it wasn't just about trees and sky. There was so much more to what he had to offer us in terms of an opening onto a culture and land in that larger sense.
Even though Butte and Bairava were shot many years apart on different continents and feature very different camera techniques, artists, and landscapes, there are themes here that pull these two short films together. My interest is particularly in how spirituality is expressed in film. I had a lot of questions for Philip and Marlene, as you'll hear. I'm always telling my students in the class that that they should be watching in films for the kinds of visual and auditory clues that filmmakers often use to talk about spirit or transformation or the transcendent in a general sense. And I noticed that Butte both opens and ends with the sound of wind. And wind is certainly is a wind, but it's also spirit. And in the Christian tradition, wind is a symbol of the Holy Spirit, which derives from the Jewish roots. Is there any kind of a spirituality, not necessarily that spirituality, but is there a spiritual nature to the fact that you used wind so prominently as an auditory symbol in this film?
Well, one of the things that was so central to the idea behind the film was to represent in some way the cycles of time and nature.
Yes, and along with the cycle of time and nature and the course of the day that's represented in the film, we also included the four elements of earth, air, wind, and fire. So the symbolic sound of wind is key and central to the concepts that we were discussing for the film.
I certainly noticed the earth, wind, air, and fire, and I thought, boy, when he was in that stream, that looked like a glacial stream. That must have been cold water.
And Byron, wrapped in towels and blankets because it was so freezing, but he was game, my goodness.
Yes, if you have a chance to see the documentary, Byron Chief Moon, Grey Horse Rider, there is a scene that was shot while we were filming that scene for the dance film. So you get to see just how cold it is as he dips himself into it and then, you know, is later wrapped up, as Philip said, in blankets discussing it.
I wanted to ask you about land because land, just picking up on what you said, Marlene, about land as well. I know from reading a number of Indigenous authors that it's always about land. A person comes from the land and they don't own the land. We are, as human beings, owned by the land. In this particular case, the land is so striking, as we said. So how did land in particular play a role in this film for you?
Well, there's many ways into that question. One of the initial ideas for the concept for the film from Byron was that he wanted to create a duet. It was going to initially be him and another dancer representing many things. Like, there's a lot of duality in his life. On one level, it's his two-spirited identity. Another is his connection to his ancestral past and his contemporary current life. And then, as we discussed it, knowing that it was going to be in this really, really rich landscape that is so meaningful to him, we decided that the duet would be between him and the land. So that was how we started thinking about how we could treat the land to create this conversation between Byron and that, or, you know, how the land could be his spirit guide.
One of the things that's so striking, if you, again, do have the chance to see the documentary, is right near the beginning of the film, and you see him dancing in the landscape again, different kinds of landscapes than you see in Butte. He says, "When I'm dancing, I try to get myself into this imaginary time. It's coming from this pulse that has inspired me all my life. It's coming from the soles of my feet," he says, "and that is my connection to Earth Mother." And then he says, "We know we are all connected to Earth, and she is woman." So that is, I think, fundamental to his understanding of this idea of land.
Wow. Yes, and with that pulse that he talks about, he feels like the pulse coming up through the land and the stories coming out through gestures. And this acknowledges both where he's from and where his people are from. And he says that is the landscape.
Yeah, thank you. I want to go so many directions from that. Pulse and rhythm and beat, of course, feature also in the other movie. We'll be talking about Byrava very, very prominently. But to step back to Butte for a second, let's move, because you were talking about the dance and expressing the rhythm through the dance. Is Byron a Blackfoot by any chance? Do you know?
Yes, he's both Blackfoot and Cree, but he was raised on the Blood Tribe land, and I don't remember which parent is which, but yes, he identifies as Blackfoot.
All right, yes. Thank you, because that's the land that I identify with, that with the Hoodoos and with that area around Drumheller, mm-hmm. Alberta. The dance that he was doing, because you're both dancers and also dance filmmakers, not only that, but specializing also in dance film. Do you can you tell me something about his dancing?
The dancing that you see in this particular film is, it would be this notion of traditional, I think, is something that he is always trying to break. It's a conversation that is active in terms of his own creative process. But what you see are some, I would say, traditional steps and ideas that could be rooted in a particular time and place, but he puts it into a contemporary genre. So he is an artist who is of this moment and representing who he is in this moment. And that's what you see in this particular film. He also has deep training in other forms of dance as well. So for instance, he had experience working with a woman named Karen Jameson, who's also on the West Coast. And they had training in a technique which is called the Alla Nicolai technique, which is one of the traditional modern dance idioms. And so he's got all of that in his system as well.
Mm-hmm. And a style, or, you know, a form of dance that he is working on in the film, and he does practice and trains other dancers in it, is getting almost into a trance-like state. So often he'll dance for a long time to get into this state of sort of transcendence, within which he then can, you know, express different things that he's channeling through his dance. You really see that in the fire scene in Butte.
I noticed, speaking of that fire scene, that in the credits it says the fire makers, and the names are indigenous. So I presume then that the fire was made in a way that respected the traditional knowledges, obviously.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And again, Byron was our guide to this particular piece. It wasn't that we imposed ourselves and said, oh, we want to shoot here. Oh, we want to shoot there. No, he actually was the person who activated all of the possibility to enter onto the Blood Reserve and to be able to shoot on that land, to film on that land. And one of the key elements was to also engage people from the community to participate in the film. So he connected us with somebody who could build a fire. He connected us with somebody who was a singer, whom we recorded for this particular film. And so it kind of developed in that way, even in terms of the catering of the food for the film. We had somebody locally who was giving us all of that kind of special treatment. And we really felt, I have to say, quite blessed to be just welcomed onto these ancestral lands, because that's exactly where we were. And this was, Marlene, you'll correct me if I'm wrong, but I mean, this was a rare occasion that to allow people in to film in this way.
Yes, and we would have meetings with elders to discuss the project, to then, you know, be granted access to certain, you know, burial sites that we filmed on. And the fire scene was filmed close to there, a very sort of auspicious area. And it was very close to where we filmed kind of the midday sun-drenched scene where Byron is lying on that same earth. So it was very moving to be there, both during the day and then at night with the fire.
I want to say, while recognizing that no one who is a settler background person should be congratulating themselves too much for much of anything, I do want to recognize that both of you and Mouvement Perpetuel, that you did all of this back in 2006, and that was 10 years before the Truth and Reconciliation Commission published its findings and its challenges to Canadians. So I guess I want to give credit where credit is due. Recognizing it's an ongoing work, but also noticing that you were doing this a good 10 years before many of the rest of us sort of caught on.
Well, it's interesting that you point that out, Matthew, because part of our formation, you know, the grounding that we have as dance filmmakers actually stems from, and this is a bit of a tangent, but nonetheless, it's an important one, stems from a fellowship that we did at UCLA in Los Angeles, University of California, Los Angeles. And we were at the Center for Intercultural Performance. And that was back in 1999. And we were in that moment immersed in these notions of intercultural performance, excuse me, and the idea that the conversations that are necessary, and how do you treat tradition, and what is a contemporary practice. So this infused through the projects that we did over a span of months and actually developed into years of activity with the Center for Intercultural Performance at UCLA at the World Arts and Cultures Department into a very rich kind of practice. And I think it embedded us with an understanding of how we wanted to move forward with our own practice and our own company.
Now, as filmmakers and as producers and working together with Byron on the film, how did your images of the land change by the time the film was done, by having watched him experience it through his feet and through that dance that he did?
Well, as Philip mentioned before, we did have a chance to work with Byron prior to making this film. So we were already quite familiar with what he could bring to it choreographically and through his dance and the interpretation he would have. So we had a lot of conversations prior to. We did a lot of visual research before we went. So while the dance was really created in situ, like per location. We had quite a structure in mind, and we'd already made some decisions on how we would film it. You know, we chose to shoot on 16 millimeter film using an old style camera, you know, one of those Bolex cameras that you mechanically wind up, and then it'll run up to 30 seconds if you're lucky. And we were using this to really get the qualities of light and color in a way that at the time you really couldn't get digitally. And I would even say, maybe even so now, it would be a challenge to reproduce that quality through a digital format. So we knew we were going to be moving with him. We'd already decided it would be handheld to, again, emphasize that duality between the camera, what it's capturing, and Byron's performance, and treating the land as almost like a character, you know? So Michael, our cinematographer, would often film, if Byron wasn't necessarily in the scene, film really close to the land, moving through the grass along the stream. And then we were playing with the speed as we can with that type of film camera. So whereas, you know, time is usually captured in 24 frames per second, we were shooting at times in eight frames per second. So it created this rapid sense of really dynamic energy that we were trying to use as a way to express what the land could be representing for Byron. And then it was really, every day we would discuss how we were going to approach the different scenes based on where we were going to be, what time of day it would be. And then, you know, we would sort of bring all of those thoughts and elements together.
And I would also say that this was what Marlene is talking about was also emphasized through a kind of layering of images that you see in the film that was done in the post-production phase, but also that was echoed in the sound design and the music composition, which was created by Nicolas Basque. And so there's that aspect of it, which is the more technical side, the filmic side of it. But as well, always keep in mind, and this was something that was, it was just instilled in us, I think, that we were on ancestral land. And again, that he had this deep connection and this knowledge of the site in particular. And so that influenced us in a very real way, but it also recalls for me, I'm not sure how many people might know the work of Maya Angelou, the American author and poet, and she talks about ancestors, and it was funny because, not funny, but I mean, it recalls for me the importance of understanding what it means to be standing with ancestors. And this idea that with ancestors, they are never gone. They're always with you. You summon them up, you know? It's like, I'm going out for a walk. Come on with me, you know? It's that kind of thing. And you see that when Byron is working, you see that in his approach. And even though, obviously, it's not that we're summoning up ghosts or anything, that's not the issue. It's more of a philosophical and a sense of how do you move in the world? And I think we were able, through, again, the conduit of Byron's understanding of all of this, to in some way give an understanding of that very, very particular perspective. And as I suggest, it may be Aboriginal in nature, but it's also shared by other cultures as well.
Mm-hmm. And I have a quote from Byron. We were able to film a keynote speech he gave, a talk he gave at York University when we were setting out to do the documentary on him. And it seems to pull in a lot of these ideas that we're discussing right now. I can read it out to you. Dance has always been a medium that has helped reconcile the challenges and reality of the time to the spirit of my people. I share the views that Elder's stories connected people to the qualities of the landscape by drawing parallels between plant people, rock people, animal people, people of the land, people of the sky, and the relationship between Earth Mother and all her children. To me, dance and spirituality, is simply a representation of the world around me. So I thought that was really sums up nicely what he has in his dance and in his present and in his interpretation when we're watching him on the land.
Yeah, for me, watching it, it's an incredibly spiritual film, and of course, all of that is emphasized, is brought out, is presented artfully by the way that he and you have done it, not only in the filming, in the dance, but also in the post production, as Philip said, and in the sound production. I loved hearing the coyotes, by the way. But I want to step back to you said a duet with the land. I think that's a beautiful way that it's put, a duet, that he's dancing a duet with the land. As you watch Butte and Bhairava, I'm sure you'll agree with the header on Marlene and Philip's website, which invites viewers into a deeply intimate tracing of the curvatures of human movement, belief, story, and experience. Butte was produced and directed by Marlene Miller and Philip Sporer. The choreographer and dancer featured in Butte is Byron Chief Moon. Original music is by Nicola Basque. Vocals are by Greta Manybears and Raymond Manybears. And the photo credit goes to Michael Weiss. Thanks for joining us for this podcast.